morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is going to be where we're going to be today, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We are in this series entitled Better Than, and we've been looking at the things of life that sometimes we do not consider the significance of, and yet God says it is better for you to consider this rather than that, or it's better for you to do this rather than that. Well, this morning I want us to consider this serious matter of responding to God when God speaks to us. And I'm not talking about just here at church, I'm talking about every day of our lives, being open and responsive to God. It's going to be in the context of Ecclesiastes 5 that puts it in sort of a corporate setting. So if you would, please look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And Brother Ford, thank you for helping Jay Willis out. Jay's trying to get his offering in back there, and he's saying, give me an offering plate. He's running a camera. Jay's new on the camera. Jay, make sure you get a good shot of me this morning, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this. I'm reading out of the King James. I will also probably share most of the translation out of the NIV this morning. The preacher says this to us, keep your foot when you go to the house of God and be ready, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Let me pause there. He puts this in the context of corporate worship. We're going to talk about worship today. And he says, keep your foot when, not if. In other words, he is understanding that God's people are going to go to meet with God corporately. So when you go, not if you go. There are a lot of people who question every week, well, are we going to church today? No, you ought to be anticipating on worship day being in worship. So he says, when you go, guard yourself. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Verse 2, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter just anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Better is it that you should not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say they before the priest or the minister that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. So in this context of worship, we see God instructing us on the seriousness of meeting with Him. Now, hopefully you picked up notes, and I'm going to follow those notes that were at the Welcome Center. I want to begin by some basic truths this morning that the Bible teaches us. The basic truth is this, God desires to meet with His people. That has always been a desire of God. From the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, God wants to meet with us. He wants us in His presence. He wants us to meet with Him in worship. That's what meeting with God is. When you're in the presence of God, it is worship. You cannot be in the presence of God without a sense of worship, a sense of awe. And that's why this writer is actually coming in understanding the awe of God in the end. So he says, God wants to meet with His people. Now, we know that God wants to meet with us regularly, individually, every day of our lives. You don't just worship on Sundays. If you have the concept that worship of God just takes place in a setting like this on Sunday or at another time, you've missed the whole concept of worship in the Bible. Worship is to take place every day of my life. Actually, God wants me to be ever conscious of worship, but we need to meet with Him daily, understanding that we are in His presence and we ought to be in awe of Him. So we are to meet and worship God individually and daily. But we're also called by God to worship Him corporately with other members of His body called the church. That's why we gather for corporate worship. Now, you can worship on any day you want to worship. I don't care what day that is. Corporate worship can take place at different times, but we are called to come together corporately. There are all kinds of scriptures in the Bible that urge us to do that. And the basis of worship is this, that we worship God in a sincere way. God not only desires to meet with us, but here is where we miss it most of the time. God desires sincere worship. God desires serious worship. I put in our notes some scripture out of John chapter 4. That encounter where this woman, the Samaritan woman, has a conversation with Jesus about the well and the water in the well. And there's much in that text if you read John chapter 4. But in the middle of that, there is this stress upon worship. Worship is stressed. The woman said to Jesus, I'm reading from our notes in John 4, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, He's trying to get her to understand worship of God. Jesus said, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. In other words, worship is not isolated to a certain spot or certain place. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in serious and sincere worship. That's what He's trying to say. In spirit, yes, but in truth, sincere and serious. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God wants to meet with us, but He wants us to meet with Him in a serious and sincere way, whether it's daily or corporately, but especially in a corporate manner, because God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Both have to occur if God is to be pleased in our worship. Now, we have a problem. We have a huge problem. American churches perhaps have this problem more than any other churches in the world. This is the problem, and I want to read a quote. There is a growing religious trend that thinks just any form of worship is acceptable to God. That is not true. When you read the Word of God, not any form of worship is acceptable to God. People say, well, it just doesn't really matter what we sing. Oh, I differ with you. It does. Well, it doesn't really matter whether we incorporate the Word. Oh, I differ. It matters to God how we worship. And not just any form of worship is honorable to the Father. And that trend is so much today in our churches in America that we do not have any common sense of what worship looks like. Now, I know that is a hard statement to make. And the reason I say this is people come to me all the time and they say, man, I went over to Church Z and their worship looks nothing like our worship. I went over to Church X and their worship looks nothing like our worship. Did you know in worship there ought to be a common thread? I don't care if you're a Lutheran or a Baptist or anybody. There ought to be a common thread that is woven in scriptures as to what worship looks like. It's not what we want it to be. It's not how we design it. No, no. It's the way the scripture designs worship, corporate worship, that we need to take very seriously. Douglas Sean O'Donnell, have no idea who this man is, but in my studies, in one of the study books that I was using, he said this about 21st century Americans. He says, we live in perhaps one of the most sacrilegious and blasphemous church cultures in the history of Christianity. Here's what he's saying when he says that. We just think that anything is okay as long as it's under the umbrella of worship. And so we have incorporated into our church worship things that the world comes in, people who are seeking God, they see and they say, that is strange. Why is that happening? What does that have to do with God? What does that have to do with me finding God? And so they see this sacrilegious, blasphemous forms of worship in our churches. Now, all of us in our minds have already conjured up and we have ideas of where we've seen that happening. It could very well have happened here on multiple occasions. It may happen again. And if so, God ought to judge us of that. What I'm trying to get us to see in the beginning of this message is this. We have forgotten that worship is a serious matter. When you came here this morning, this ought to be one of the most serious and sincere times of your week. You didn't just come to meet with people. You came to meet with the Holy God. You didn't just come to see who's going to be here and who's not going. No. You came, if you understand worship, to come into the presence of a holy God. A God who requires things of us. A God who expects things of us. A God who has a plan for all of our lives. A God who is wanting to transform us. So worship is designed to be serious. Some of you have heard the name of R.C. Sproul, tremendous godly man of the Lord in his ministry before the Lord, of course, led him home. He used to pastor at St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. And here's what he said about worship. He says, this is our priority. It's to worship God according to how He commands, not according to what may be popular or in a particular culture or a particular time. Did you catch that? Not what may be popular in a particular culture or a particular time. Now, I'm not saying you can't incorporate the fabric of worship in different settings, but I'm saying that there is a common thread of worship that is woven in the Scriptures that must and ought to be included in every aspect of our worship. It will include things such as the right music and the Word of God, primarily the Word of God, because music ought to be nothing but the Word of God being sung. It all centers on the Word, every bit of it. I have people say, well, I don't like to hear the preaching, but you don't understand worship. I don't want to go to, well, you don't understand worship. That's why we don't worship God on a daily basis. We're not in His Word. You cannot be in worship of God without understanding how His Word plays the role in all of that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So he says this, before R.C. Sproul, who is no longer the pastor there, of course, while he was there on the bulletin, on the front of the cover of the bulletin at that church, it said this, and this moved me when I read it. He says this to help people to understand that we are entering into a sacred time and a sacred space where God has called us. He says, we cross, when you enter into worship, when you come through the doors of a place where you're worshiping God together, we cross the threshold of the secular to the sacred. You are in a place that is dedicated to a holy God. It is a sacred place. Did you know this is a sacred building? I'm not making the building God, but this is a sacred, it's been dedicated to the glory of the Father. And so he says, you're entering into from the threshold of the secular, you're coming out of the world into a place to meet with God, from the common to the uncommon. In other words, all week long, you've seen the common world and what it does, but now you're coming to a sacred place for God to do something uncommon in your life, something unusual in your life, whatever that is. And from the profane, we would all say how profane the world is, to the holy. And so I spent that entire time this morning and in preparation of the sermon to help us to understand that if you are like me, until I sat down this week and allow the Spirit of God to begin to show me and to convict me again of this very thing, that we could be just as guilty, if not totally guilty, of failing to understand what worship is about. And not taking seriously these moments. Again, I'm going to use this as a common illustration, and some of you will be offended at this, and if you are, I'll smile at you and say I love you anyway. Some of us can't take this moment serious enough or sincere enough to even turn our cell phones off. I'm telling you. I have people say, but somebody, no. Listen, you are wanting to hear from God, not a neighbor, not a friend, not to check your Facebook status, not to see who is instantly messaging you. No. You are here, and I'm here to hear from a holy God. That's just a little example of how we do not take seriously our time of worship. You say, but I've got my Bible on my phone. Well, can I make a suggestion? It's good to have your Bible on your phone. I've got it on mine. I read it daily on my phone. It's an access where I don't have my big Bible in my hands all the time. But there's nothing wrong with you owning a copy of the Word of God like that either and bringing it with you. As a matter of fact, it could be a great testimony if you've got a Bible in your hand instead of a phone. They don't know what you're doing on that phone, but they know if you've got a Bible what you're doing. Amen? They know what that means. So I'll suggest to you, bring a copy of the Scriptures with you. I want us to see, and maybe I'm preaching more to Roy. I'm on the latter end of ministry, not the early end of ministry. You ministry students, you upcoming pastors, you're going to deal with this more than I am. And I've seen the trends, and I know what's happening. We do not take seriously and sincerely the time that we have in the presence of a holy God. And so the writer here in Ecclesiastes 5 tells us how to benefit from this time. How can we take this seriously and sincerely when we come to worship? So he says, when you go to the house of God, there's some things to do. Let me give you those quickly. Three things. Number one, draw near and listen well. Isn't that profound? Nothing profound about that. But he says in verse 1, when you go to the house of God, he says, guard your steps. Keep your foot. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Draw near. Yeah, go to the house of God. Draw near. Listen, we ought to long for this time every week as worship, in corporate worship. It should grieve us. This should be a good measure as where you are spiritually in your life, in your acts of worship. If you aren't grieved when you can't corporately worship with other people, there's something wrong spiritually in your life. I didn't say that. God's Word says that. If you can just miss worship and act as if it's no loss, there's something wrong in your life. Because it is an inner part of us when the Spirit of God comes in us to want to meet with the God that has shown us grace and love. And so when you go, he says, draw near, yes, come near, but guard, listen well. In other words, seek to hear God speak. He says, go near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. So draw near, but listen well. Now, that does not mean listen to me, although I may be the messenger. Listen for God to speak. That's what he's saying. How will God speak? If God speaks, I promise you, he will take the power of his Holy Spirit through his word in your life. That's how he's going to speak. That's how he's always spoken. You say, no, he's going to show me some vision. Well, he might show you a vision, but you may just be having a foolish dream. That's how he related it here. You get so wrapped up in your everyday life that he starts talking about in the business of life, you can't even sleep. All these crazy dreams come to mind. You can't even rest. We've gotten so encompassed with the things of this world that we can't even lay them aside to where we can concentrate on coming into the presence of a holy God and listening for him to speak through his word. Listen well. Listen well. Pay attention. Pay attention to to God speaking to you. You say, how will I know? You will know. Number two, draw near and listen well. Number two, this is hard for some of us. Be quiet. Don't be careless with your words. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. Do not be rash, the King James says. The NIV says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter just anything before God. In other words, stop talking. Stop all the distractions. Be quiet. Don't be careless with your words. Don't just utter anything to God. Don't be singing a song that strikes a chord in your heart and you say, thank you, God. When I get out of here, I'm going to do better at that. You better mean it, he says. Don't be hasty with your words. Think seriously about what's about to happen. Now, God is speaking. It's God speaking and you're already being drawn. God's beginning to stir your heart. But be careful. Think, be quiet, and do not be careless with your words. Let your words be few. Beware of hasty prayers. I wished, I don't know where Pastor Tim is, I don't know where the other Pat Marty is sitting back here. I wish there were some way for me to look back over 30 plus years of ministry and see how many people have come to me or come to an altar or gone to another altar worker and made a commitment to God quickly. Never fulfilling that. What a grievous thing that is. What he's trying to say is this. Take seriously God's word when he speaks to you, but don't just respond quickly without knowing that this is a serious matter, so be careful. Don't be careless with your words. Do not be careless with your promises. A promise is just a promise unless it is kept. Thirdly, if you make a commitment to God, keep it. Verse 4, verse 5, read it for yourself. When you make a vow to God, do not delay. Don't even put it off. Start immediately being faithful to what you commit to the Lord. Now, if we had the opportunity and could remember them, I don't know how long you've been trying to follow after God. I don't know when you came into relationship with him. I have no idea. But over the years of my life, as I put this sermon together and began to study the Word of God, I began to think about all of those commitments I've made to the Lord. Youth camps, revivals, and church services. And I thought, Lord, if you showed me the level of my commitment to those, or the level of my faithfulness to those commitments I've made, I'd be so embarrassed. And wouldn't you? Because we're quick to utter. We're hasty with our mouth. We're careless with our words. And so he's saying, take seriously this time of worship. And when the Lord speaks, respond. But don't just respond hastily. Consider what that might cost you. Consider the level of dedication that will require of you. Matt, can I tell you, there are a lot of people that aren't singing in the choir. You know why? It takes dedication. It's not because God hadn't spoken to them through his word to say, you can glorify me, you can honor me in this ministry. No, it takes dedication. And I'm glad that if you're going to get in there, that you're going to be dedicated to it. It ought to be that way. I'm glad that when God called me to ministry, all those many years ago, that if there's one that he's upheld in my life, it's been this ministry of preaching the Word of God. To stay faithful to that. Some of you keep asking me about my retirement. You did not listen well. I never said I was retiring. I said I was retiring from pastoral ministry. When God calls and we make a commitment, it's lifelong. It doesn't change. I said that day I intend to preach the gospel as long as God gives me breath. That means my family is going to get tired of hearing me preach. I intend to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a commitment I made to him. It was a serious commitment. And what's sad is this, most of us don't understand. When we came into relationship with the God that loves us, we said to Him, God, my life is no longer yours or mine, it's yours. That's what you said when you came to faith in Christ. My life doesn't count to me anymore, it counts to you. My commitment is, God, to you. Whatever you want, whenever you want it, I want to be obedient to you. And through the act of worship on a daily basis, every day of my life, and then when I come together corporately, you continue to enforce that in my life through your word so that I remain faithful and bring glory to you because I take this act of worship seriously and sincerely. Lord, speak. I'm listening. When we're singing, we ought to be singing with zest. But when it comes to the time of listening for God to speak, we ought to be quiet and calm and not careless with our words, but obedient, understanding that God says, if you make a vow and don't keep it, and this is a scary thing, folks. Read it, verse 6 and 7. I will destroy the works of your hands. Have you ever wondered why sometimes families or maybe your own self, you can't sense the presence and the blessing of God in your life? Could it be somewhere along life's journey you said to God, I will be faithful. I will follow. I'll be obedient. I'll serve. I'll love you. I'll be committed to you. But that is lacking. And God says, you have tied my hands. And if you make a commitment to me and don't follow through, I will destroy the works of your hands. In other words, I cannot bless you the way I want to bless you. But I will through your faithfulness to me. So we ask, when we come to services like this, Lord, speak, I'm listening. Before I commit, God, let me consider the seriousness of that because you will hold me to that. We live in a strange world today, a world that doesn't understand accountability and commitment. In business, we see it all the time. People will call, you'll call and say, yeah, I'll be out there Tuesday. They don't show up, they don't even call you. Didn't mean a thing. They said they'd be there Tuesday. They meant, I might be there Tuesday. You ever experienced that? And we do that in our own lives. We make promises. Yeah, I'll see you or I'll do this. And no, listen, we've gotten so accustomed to that in everyday life that we forget that God is a God who holds us accountable to our commitments to Him. Some of you and some that are listening to this, there's some who committed your lives to Christ as best you understood that. Language can get me in trouble. I mean you understood the grace of God and God's grace gripped your heart. The Spirit of God worked in you. You responded to Him as best you understood it. And that grace flooded your heart through repentance and faith. And you became a child of God. And yet to this day, you've never stepped in the waters of baptism. I don't understand that. I'm just telling you, I don't understand that. Because God's word is crystal clear. That's an act of commitment to Him. You don't even have to say, well, tell me why. No, the word says it. Do it. You say, Pastor, you just want to baptize people. Oh, hallelujah, I do. Everyone that's made a profession of faith in Christ, confessed their sins, their hearts have been changed. I want to baptize them because it's saying to the world, this is another life that's been rescued by the grace of God. And I just don't understand that. It's a lack of understanding, a vow made to a holy God. Because when I stand before God, I don't want Him to say, well, I was willing to help you while you were there, but because you lack commitment. Wouldn't it be bad if God said, well, you failed me here, so I'm not going to fulfill that in your life. No, God is a God who keeps His covenant with us. I just want to urge us this morning to understand the seriousness and the sincerity of worship. To to lay aside our distractions from this day forward when we come together here and even through the week in our times with God. To pull away from the world, to turn off the chaos, to unplug for a while every day, to be in the presence of a holy God that can speak to us about life and meaning in life. Because if we don't unplug from the world, we'll never hear from a holy God. And if we can't lay aside our distractions and listen carefully and guard our hearts and guard our words and respond appropriately, we'll never be the people God wants us to be and experience Him the way He wants us to experience Him. And that is our goal, is it not? To experience the fullness of the presence of God in our lives.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.